With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. There are several areas in the North Woods where the Wisconsin DNR is looking for chronic wasting disease samples. CWD is a fatal infectious nervous system disease of deer. It's slowly been making its way into herds in the northern portion of the state. This hunting season, the DNR is hoping to get more samples from Lincoln and Oneida counties, as well as parts of Vilas, Forest, and Langlade counties. Erin Larson is the Wisconsin Deer Herd Health Specialist. She says hunters can find CWD sampling drop-off and carcass disposal sites on the DNR website.
We do want to avoid having hunters move deer far away and then put that carcass waste out on the landscape in a new area.
The DNR is also looking for deer samples from ones harvested in the Stella area of Oneida County. That area of the county has been dealing with high levels of PFAS contamination. Interested hunters will need to submit sections of muscle and liver from the deer. We have more information on how to do that at our website at WXPR.org. The archery deer season is going on right now. The 9-day gun deer season in Wisconsin opens November 23rd. Forest Legacy funding will protect over 2,500 acres of land in three locations in the North Woods. The Forest Service announced $1,345,000 in Forest Legacy funding. The money is used to ensure critical forest lands will continue to provide recreation opportunities, economic benefits, and thriving ecosystems. The state line forest in the town of Oma in Iron County will protect 998 acres of mixed northern hardwood. The Border Lakes Conservation Easement will protect 1,350 acres in the town of Land O'Lakes in Vilas County. Another 191-acre easement in Land O'Lakes will protect land situated in the headwaters area of the Wisconsin River. The Forest Legacy funding maintains working forests for future generations in Wisconsin. It boosts local economies and improves public access to natural spaces while safeguarding critical wildlife habitat and water quality. An Upper Peninsula man last seen in the late 1990s has been identified in Arizona. William Herman Heidemacki was a John Doe case after his body was first discovered in 2009 and was only recently identified. WXPR's Katie Thorson reports.
On November 11, 2009, workers poured cement on a highway widening project near the Hoover Dam in Arizona. According to the Mojave County Sheriff's Office, one of the workers found a bone. Between the construction workers and the National Park Service agents, more bones, clothing, and a green sleeping bag were also found nearby. Detectives continued the investigation over the years in an attempt to generate leads with no results. In April 2024, investigators assigned to the Special Investigations Unit of the Sheriff's Office were notified by a genetic lab in Texas that they had received a grant funding to pay for forensic genetic genealogy in the case. A sample was sent to the lab, and a DNA profile was created and uploaded to a genealogy database for investigation by their assigned genetic genealogist. In October, investigators received a report indicating that the John Doe was a descendant of ancestors born in the mid-1800s and residing in Michigan. An investigation began in which possible relatives of John Doe were located and interviewed. Reference testing conducted on these relatives confirmed that the John Doe unidentified remains were William Herman Heidemacki. Heidemacki was born on April 4, 1950. He and his family resided in the Trout Creek area of the Upper Peninsula. The Mojave County Sheriff's Office says he was known to hitchhike to various locations and lived a nomadic lifestyle. Heidemacki was last seen by his family when he went to visit his sister in New Mexico in 1995. He suffered from epileptic seizures. The ME's office was unable to determine his cause of death due to the state of his remains. They estimated the year of his death to have been between 2006 and 2008. Katie Thorson, WXPR News.
Crowds of trick-or-treaters visited Pinecrest Nursing Home in Merrill for Halloween. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed talked to dinosaurs, witches, and pirates.
Do you like Reese's?
Pinecrest Nursing Home in Merrill was busy last night as trick-or-treaters collected candy from residents for Halloween. Dana Zimmerman's father, John Slodick, is a resident at the nursing home.
It's such a nice thing that the Pinecrest Nursing Home does. They open it up and people donate candy throughout the whole community, you know, candy, and then they let it open up for the kids to come through. It's entertainment for the residents that live here, and then also all the kids can go around collecting candy,
This family was dressed up like the family from The Incredibles, Violet and Jack-Jack included.
Been in the community for a while, so we like to come here, especially when it's gross outside.
On Thursday night, the temperature was in the 40s and rainy, so many trick-or-treaters said they were finding respite from the bad weather at Pinecrest.
We're going to stop here for our last stop and hopefully get a couple more pieces of candy before we melt in the rain.
This trick-or-treater said he was planning to dress up as a pirate for a year or two.
Last year I watched the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Rose Wendorf is a member of the Alliance of Therapy Dogs and brought her therapy dog, dressed up as a Triceratops, to visit family and trick-or-treat.
It's a little more crowded than I figured it was going to be.
The crowds were still coming when I asked how many people had been through, and at that point there had been around 350 kids, with 30 adults in costume and 4 dogs in costume. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed in Merrill.
A grant will help the Forest County Sheriff's Office with equipment and training needed for the implementation of Next Generation 911. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs approved grant funding and will provide $118,000 toward the effort, with Forest County kicking in $13,000 for a total of $131,000. Word that the grant had been approved came through earlier this week. The grant will help with software to guide dispatchers when making decisions, training including emergency medical dispatching, upgrades to 911 recording software, and new phone servers, among other things. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.